Good morning. Paul Prydecker here with Attitude Adjustment. This is EAA Radio. And we've started every session this week with guests from the Pilot Mental Health Campaign. And we have a new guest with us this morning. I'd like to welcome Evan Scrobot. Evan, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
You know, you guys are doing such important work, and, you know, we so appreciate everything. We know your topic is about, you know, self-disclosing, and give us a little bit of an overview, and I've got a, you know, kind of a few comments and questions about this myself.
Right. So, basically with mental health in general is, you know, just like anything, mental health is health, and when you're self-reporting with anything, it's coming forward about, hey, I had X, Y, and Z health issue to the FAA, and normally reporting it to your AME, or if you're a pilot for an airline, to a airline union doctor. And with me, there's a lot of stigma behind that. And with a lot of people, they have stigma behind the kind of mental health aspects, kind of just worried about, hey, what are the potential outcomes? Am I going to lose my license? Am I going to lose my medical? And realistically, that's kind of created kind of a gap in what really is going on, and also, you know, sometimes just what is stigma based or fear based.
And we all want to do the right thing, but we don't want it to cost our job, right?
Definitely. And yeah. And I've talked to a lot of pilots that their outlet and their information is coming from Reddit or you know, places on the internet that aren't always factual, and kind of create that stigma of people that might not even be pilots.
Sure. So. I'd like to bring Mike into our conversation level here. So, Mike, welcome in.
Yeah, thank you. Are you hearing me okay?
We are.
Okay. Yeah, at a certain level, this sounds like a terrible idea. And I know that it's not, but under what circumstances is it really the right thing to do, self-reporting?
It's, in my opinion, it's always the right thing to do. I was out on medical leave for 2.5 years through my own health journey. And again, regardless if it's a heart attack or if it's something within mental health, both of those aspects, there's a lot of gray area for pilots. Something we're working on with the mental health campaign is we're kind of streamlining a lot of information where pilots can go, and there isn't so much gray area. And also, we've been working closely with the FAA and the NTSB and creating solutions to the problems that we're having.
Well, I mean, what the message that I've been getting from your group since we've been, you know, talking this week is you're just trying to get a path to yes for people who are trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, we're getting a path to yes. And in the beginning, there's a lot of loss of identity and a lot of, you know, pilots are pilots. But for me, through my journey of 2.5 years and, you know, through many pilots I know, they kind of lose that sense of identity when, you know, their medical's in jeopardy. And now something I've kind of come to realize is, regardless if you're flying and in the cockpit or not, the, you know, community behind aviation, you know, aviators are aviators, regardless if you're flying or not. And for me, sometimes that middle ground, once you do self-report, you're kind of finding that balance of kind of going through the process. And there's a lot of kind of, you know, you might get a denial a couple times. But the important thing for me is, and you'll hear it from the FAA a lot, is, you know, only a small percent, and I'm talking very small percent, of medicals actually get denied. You might get deferred, and you might get deferred a lot. I'm not underestimating how painful that is. I've been through it myself, but at the same time, there's a lot of there's always kind of processes back. It might not be the easiest way back, but that's something we're working on at our campaign, is we're trying to kind of create solutions to problems that are there.
So we're talking with Evan Scrobot, who's the Director of Operations for the Pilot Mental Health Campaign. You mentioned that you had been through this. Could you share a little bit of your own story with us?
Yeah, so I self-disclosed having some mental health issues. It was not a lot of gray area. And I think that's, you see a lot of issues both in the veterans community and some of the other different aviation communities out there, where it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And I think that's the struggle with the the mental health in general, is you can't fit people into boxes. And sometimes that creates weird cases for the FAA of, you know, how do we get this pilot back? And what I've come to realize through this process is, you know, the FAA, most people at the FAA are wanting people to come back. And, you know, why I share my story of a 2.5-year journey is, you know, being fortunate enough to say, hey, after 2.5 years, I mean, I spent thousands of dollars and multiple tests, multiple evaluations, and, you know, I'm back. And I think it's a testament to not only me, but the community that around me and the overall aviation in general. So,
well, I have two things to say. One is congratulations on getting it back.
Yeah, thank
but the
you.
Other part of it is we appreciate your courageousness, because it's not for the faint of heart, I think, to go through this process.
Yeah, definitely. And at the end of the day, too, mental health is health. It's not a one-size-fits-all box. The stigma behind it is something we need to talk about. I'm a part of a 121 carrier, and I'm gracious enough to get back. But definitely there's people out here sitting in kind of silence or saying, man, I just wish I could get back. But I encourage them to reach out to the Pilot Mental Health Campaign. My email's on the website as well. Mm-hmm. I would love to do some peer-to-peer for some people out there that definitely need it. So.
I had several conversations with Dr. Susan Northrup, the federal air surgeon, and she emphasized time and time again what you just said, which is the number of people that actually get denied is not that great. Deferrals, yes, and that deferral process is just to gather more information. But it seems I haven't heard too many stories where that whole process is quick.
Yes, and I used to roll my eyes when they would say, well, you know, only a certain number actually get denied. But at the end of the day, too, there's that balance between, the deferred. And I think a lot of times people lose sight of, you know, can I financially keep doing this? Can I financially keep testing, or can I financially keep going on with this medical to get back? And I think sometimes the FAA doesn't account fully for, hey, sometimes people cannot financially recover to actually get through. I was in a really, special spot, and I was even getting to a point where it's, hey, do I continue? But there are ways of getting back. There is support there, and our whole job as an organization is both advocacy in Washington, D.C., trying to pass some bills, as well as, our peer-to-peer support. So,
you mentioned support, and there's a lot of different ways we could use that word, of course, but I think one of the concerns that I've watched happen is how to put food on the table while you don't know how many deferrals you're going to have to be, waiting on. What do you tell people about, how they should approach that, or what resources might be available?
Yeah, so there's definitely, there are organizations online for various aspects of getting help financially. But more so, what I've told people is, you're more than just a pilot. Obviously, we're aviators, and there's that separation. For me, I always thought I was a pilot. I'm, still a pilot, and everyone will still be pilots. But I think the important thing to note is you will always be an aviator, regardless of whether you have your medical or not, whether you're 80 years old on your deathbed. And I don't care if you flew a plane once or you've flown a plane 1,000 times. At the end of the day, the longing to be in the sky is the most important aspect. And the longing to be a part of this community that is so amazing is a part of that. And I think really getting that balance of, that's what pushes people through the denial process in general. And I'm not saying it's, being on the other end now, I really try to advocate for the situations I went through where I was denied before.
And well, Ellen, if I look at an FAA version of this, there's so much effort been discussed about how pilots should mitigate risk. And I think this is the same thing. I think we're trying to mitigate risk. In this case, it's risk of your certificate, but you're also just trying to keep the system safe by doing the right thing.
Yeah, and mental health is health, like I've said a couple times now. And the thing is pilots are safe pilots. And I think a lot of people in that self-disclosure use the I'm safe checklist. But sometimes people just need help finding the I'm safe checklist in their own life. And I think, you know, even if it's, hey, I'm hungry, tired, or, you know, lonely or whatever.
Any of those things, right?
Any of those things. But yeah. I think pilots, fore and foremost, will use that I'm safe checklist in the cockpit, and I encourage them to use it in their own life. So
we've been talking with Evan Skrobot, who's an ATP-rated airline pilot with type ratings in the Lear 35, Citation Sovereign, and Boeing 767. He's also the director of operations for the Pilot Mental Health Campaign.
Evan, thanks so much for all you guys are doing. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This is EAA Radio.